as I was introduced, I'm Marianne Donahoe, and I backed into public health. Started out in pediatric ICU care, as you heard with the introduction, and wanted to know why everybody was ending up there. And then I found out that public health is part of prevention, and we could really prevent a lot of later diseases, which I learned about from the ACE study when I was working on my DNP project. And I would like to recognize that Dr. Pat Speck and Tramika Bowdry, you're right, it does go fast. Woohoo! Were the other people who collaborated on this project that I'm going to talk to you about. In Tennessee, we do have public health nurse workforce. It has slowly dwindled down, and we were trying to build it. Dr. Speck wrote this grant to build the workforce. It was at the University of Tennessee Health Science Center, and it funded my salary, that is my disclosure, when I was hired as faculty. Our learning objectives for today are to develop the intensive education modules that speed the acclimation process of DNP students entering into the public health nursing workforce. And I say this because the majority of the students who applied for the public health DNP were actually nurse practitioners. They were used to the care of individuals, not populations. And this was a huge learning curve. And we also wanted to evaluate the immersion concept of learning and whether or not it helped speed up the process of acquisition of public health nursing core competencies. And your presentation, Christina, was wonderful because you got to remember what all the core competencies were before this presentation. The background. We wanted to move from novice, people who were aware of public health, into the expert nurse. Who is going to be the leader? Who is going to develop ideas? Who is going to develop practice, research, and education for the public health nurse workforce and for those who are in public health in Tennessee. The focus was to transform them from the care of nursing individuals to nursing populations. And health outcomes of diverse populations were required. We found that most of our population of nurses were used to working with those with insurance, more well-to-do, not necessarily the underserved. But the interest and determination in those who applied was very interesting. The core competencies were always a struggle with our students. And so we were trying to figure out a way where they could learn the core competencies and the skills related to the core competencies as a checklist. Everybody knows checklist manifesto, and our nurse practitioner mindset could capture that before they could actually put the two together. So the purpose was to identify what were health department leadership challenges, what were workforce deficits, and this was a whole new way of looking at health. And I say that from also a learned experience myself, because I was a pediatric nurse practitioner first. So we had to educate our faculty about their needs and how to plan student collaboratives that would work to develop their own process of learning and their own ability to educate. We partnered with leaders throughout the state to learn about their needs. What we found was people did not know how to use logic models, which is such a way to develop outcomes and see where you're coming and where you're going. And once again, we found that not only did the students not understand core competencies, but neither did our workforce. So after looking at different pedagogies and trying to figure out what might work best, immersion seemed to be the best way. If you take a group, and we found out through orthopedics, a lot of works that are done in Australia, they take, whether it's med students, nursing students, social work, and put them in a community or put them into an environment where they have to learn it on the ground and build from the experiences they have with the guidance of faculty. So this was a focused practicum experience that presents the language and concepts of public health nursing within the framework of group process. Think about public health. We don't really do it as individuals. Nursing care of individuals is very individualistic for the practice person. So they had to learn to work as group members. What we did, our DNP program is a blended version. We have 1 week on campus, 5 days of class time. Three of those three-hour sessions are with their other core classes. Then we would take out the other time, put didactic PHN curricula, and then have another three-hour session within the community. So the first week we had didactic presentations. We also had leadership skill identification techniques. A lot of these people hadn't really looked at what their leadership style was and how they were going to get along with their cohort. One class, give you an idea of how we grew. The first group that I was introduced to, there were four, then there were six, then there were 10. So this leadership style technique was really necessary for the 10. And it was looking at their strengths as well as what they might want to build and how to get along with the other people. So there was always this, whether it was Myers-Briggs or StrengthFinder, they always had this thing, how to get along with others or work with others. Then we would look at an agency or a neighborhood in the Memphis area that might be needing outcomes research or had a goal and they didn't know how to make it happen themselves. And a lot of work that we did was with United Way, and they would give us agencies who really needed help. But this group that I'm going to tell you about, we actually took a zip code that the health department had designated as a food desert. And what we did with this method was that first week on campus, the students drove around, windshield survey. They almost had forgotten how to do those. Did an online search, and by the time they left, they knew that community, even though they were from other parts of the state and they had never lived there. We also had parents and students come in as a focus group, so they got to meet with some of the stakeholders and see how important it was to hear what the stakeholders wanted, not just what the nurses thought would work best there. And this became a group assignment. They had to delegate amongst themselves which parts were going to be done. We gave them the framework. This modality that we used several modalities, but part of it was integration. And we wanted them to also be able to use other nurses. So we have a CNL program at the university, and the DNP students met with the CNLs while they were on campus, talked with them, and explained the problem, what they were looking at. They weren't even sure what the intervention was going to be because they were going to be working on this project together as a group, Adobe Connect, discussion board, through the term. So they met with them, and what they decided to do was, after they talked with the groups, did an analysis of what other places had done in a food desert, they chose a school to be the central location, had talked with the students and the parents and the staff. The playground at this school, as you can see, it has walls around it, was as big as this room for 150 students. That's their activity space. It was a blighted neighborhood. There were empty blocks, a lot of broken down buildings, empty buildings, sidewalks were broken, there was no place for bike riding. How do you build activity? The students were really stumped. Well, and they were coming up with lots of ideas that in a safe neighborhood you could do. They ended up with a jump rope routine, 89 cents per jump rope. Every student got one. And they talked with the teachers. And one of the teachers, 56 years old, she was out there teaching her students, second graders, how to jump rope. And the students were just like going, oh, this can really work. So it was a nice hands-on, gratifying. This is one of our faculty of the CNL students who went to help do the assessments. And basically it was a BMI type assessment, height, weight, acanthosis, and then what they did during the day and what they ate, 24-hour recall. Another thing to point out in this, not only learning the concepts and the language and the principles, was that the students, the DNP students, had certain biases as far as poverty. And I was also, there was also a core element of poverty, trying to explain different levels, different understandings. And they go, Marion, Dr. Donahoe, these students, they're not from poverty. They're talking about going to college. And I went, yes. But they're the ones taking home the backpacks from Walmart over the weekend for their food supply for the weekend so they can eat. Well, they shouldn't be getting those. And why do you think they're not in poverty? Should we drive around the neighborhood again? And they thought that if people were looking forward to going to college, that they really weren't in poverty. The school had been started by a group of philanthropists to provide an alternative education to the public education there. Students didn't have to pay tuition. I forgot to put my timer on. Thank you. Internal clock must be working then. And they learned that if children are put in an environment of expectation and possibilities, that they can refocus. And for some of our students, I would say that was the biggest learning curve. They learned not to judge by their own experience first in this. This is kind of, it's colorful, but it doesn't quite work here. But the immersion was to go from assessment in the community, identify the community partnerships, community needs and wants, links to people, and how to develop measurable outcomes. That's where the logic model came, and we sat down with people in this stakeholder group that helped develop that. Unite the community to build the program. They built an edible playground and taught the students how to, we involved the teachers in the school, and it became part of the curriculum to plant, to harvest, to eat, to decide where, you know, the value of those different foods in their lives. And then we also involved the education and social media. We had a lot of coverage in the city about what was happening because of the partnership. Seven steps, better view of it. The group actually looked at their how it was implemented and program evaluation. I will tell you that the outcomes of that particular six-month project was that it was very difficult to sustain the parents who had two and three jobs to keep going. Were the students interested? Oh, yes. But they didn't have complete control of their lives. And this will give you an idea of how the flow went. When the students could be in their didactic session, be in their practicum of working with the community, they were able to look at the core competencies and go, check, oh, I see what you mean by that type of leadership with community partners. Oh, okay. So it was a very ongoing realization that the practicum could actually fulfill the didactic. So the results, leadership strengths and styles were identified. There was a group process that most of the students talked about in an after survey that they had never imagined could happen with a group of nurses. Team building, almost each cohort that went through there still maintains their team and their networking. The assignment to the community led to students wanting to be more involved in their own communities when they went back from there, because only about 20% of us were from the local Memphis area. Partnerships, they learned how to build partnerships, and they learned where the pitfalls were. And then we had so many requests for students working in and around the community that we had to say no far too many times. And the students, by working together as a group, felt more confident to go ahead and do their DNP project because they felt like they had gotten the experience. So many thanks for the families and staff at St. Patrick's, which is in a zip code 38126 that has been written about. And they now, because of 3 years of experience now, or a lot of us working, have a green bus. And it is the vegetable bus that goes from neighborhood to neighborhood. So these are references that were enormously helpful. I didn't put them through the slides, but essential competencies and evidence-based practice, we just need more in public health as far as what works with students who are going to transform nursing in the future, and there are contact information. Thank you. You three.
And were you focusing primarily on three? Because some of it sounded like you had to go back and do.
We had to go back as faculty and do tier one and two in order for them to get to tier three. Because as I said, they were used to the care of individuals. So it felt like in less than 6 months, we had to bring them one, two, three all the way up. And that's why I called it immersion.
Okay.
Because the week that they came back on campus at the end of the term was when they did their presentation to other community leaders and gave the recommendations as the results of their program had been evaluated. So they were, at that end of the term, they had to do the evaluation of their program. And usually with more of a Donabedian model than any other. I forgot to include that. But yes, I was trying to bring, so that the rest of their DNP education could be all focused on tier three.
Okay, thank you. All right, so these DNP students all going into public health, like that is their admission, or are they just DNP students that are going to have to do a project?
No, they were DNP students who, they were nurse practitioners,
yes,
who saw that care of individuals was not completing the mission of wellness. And they wanted to go not just into public health, but to larger systems. We did an analysis of the graduates, mm-hmm, and we would say that 30% ended up in public health positions statewide, state positions. A lot were, 30% were in academia, education, and the others were in things like head of boards of nursing, things like that. They've all gone into leadership roles, maybe 10%. Decided to go back, but they're now on different advisory boards that they weren't on before, so they're having an influence more at level two than at level three.
This is a fantastic springboard.
And that's all it was meant to be.
Yeah, we are putting in a population health course into our DNP program just because most nurses don't get
right
the whole thing. I'm like, this is just fantastic. Thank you.
We will share anything. Because of the grant, everything is open source. It was funded by HRSA, so anything you want.
We're going to make converts.
I was surprised the convert rate, you know, because these were nurses who were just, and they were dying. Thank you.
I'm just curious. I know that UC Austin has a school of public health, right?
Yes.
So, to what extent did you sort of do some interdisciplinary cross-fertilization rather than duplication of content?
Okay, number one, I am now, as of 2 months ago, at the University of Texas. Am I working with UT Austin and the School of Public Health now? Yes. Did we have that option where I was? I was working towards it, because it's very siloed in Tennessee. People really don't work together. But with this project, it convinced them it wasn't just a nursing thing. It was a interdisciplinary, interprofessional, and they actually, the people with the bus and I were working together. So demonstration projects like this often open the door where silos were before. Yes?
Do you have an idea in your program, 30% went into public health? Do you have an idea what percentage is national?
No, I don't.
I don't need
to. No. We were concerned that they weren't going into DNP until we saw how many were going into education and were actually teaching public and community health. So then we went, okay, we just baby steps. Yes. The one at Tennessee has 60, a cohort of 60 DMP students come in. So more than 10% were in the public health. The rest were decidedly psych mental health. We have an excellent program in that. And you can, they have a BSN to DNP program right now. So a lot were doing the dual NP and psych mental health, or NP and acute care, or NP and CRNA. So 60 per every fall. At the University of Texas, they just opened up their DNP program, and part of why I was recruited there was to develop a public health nursing DNP. Yes?
I'm curious, addressing the topic of the professor about financial management, what do you have thought? Hospital finance or governmental?
Governmental. If they wanted the hospital, then they had to go more with the administration component, but we were doing more with governmental and grassroots. They learned a lot about nonprofit, and that was part of what funded us. I must admit, when the students first developed what they were going to do with this, you know, edible playground, they had a budget of $5,000, and I just kind of pushed it back over to them, and I said, where are we going to get the money? Well, the parents are going to donate. Oh, yeah. It ended up costing, to do the, with in-kind donations and things, $275 to do it all. And that's with shovels and raised beds and things like that. And different students, families came on a Saturday, dug the gardens, built the gardens in about 4 hours. No, budget was very difficult to teach. What's real and what's possible? Fun. It really was.
No other questions?